was there a dirty word in that?
No, well, that is the system just bounced it for
that
a second.
That is Cold Country, and our guest in the studio in just a little bit is Sean from Cold Country. That was the song To Providence featuring Esme Patterson, and apparently we bleeped it.
We didn't bleep anything. My little...
I'm teasing.
It thought that he sang too loud.
Is that what it thought?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Tell the system to back off.
Back off, system.
We're not going to call it pity party, Carm. We're just going to... It's a group therapy, grief
I said grief
session.
Therapy, Penny.
Grief therapy.
Is that too...
Grief?
Is that too much?
I don't know. And pity party is too mocking, right?
I said sports grief. Sports grief.
I mean, I feel like Blackhawks fans have had it pretty good, though.
Oh, there's no question.
Compared to who? Who are we comparing them? Other Chicago fans?
Three out of 6 years.
Well, I don't want to even maybe say this out loud at this point, but let's say the Cubs season doesn't go quite as planned this
year.
I know. But now that would probably be a grief therapy session.
Oh, I've already committed to drinking under the table with Carm.
Okay.
So we're together, not like drinking him under the table.
Just dump that whole conversation. That just didn't happen.
Well,
Can't pile that on the White Sox.
Let's say it about the White Sox. Johnny has been waiting for a few minutes. Johnny, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, nothing. Just listening to you guys, and just you guys have an amazing team.
Where in Canada do you live?
I'm in Canada. I'm from Winnipeg, Canada, and I just wanted to call in. Blackhawks are an amazing team, and you guys are lucky and amazing effort. And
like I said,
they could have easily gone all the way. Just a couple of questionable calls, and I just wanted to put the word out, if you can put out the word in your city, if you guys can find out when the team and the coaches are coming back, if you can get fans to meet them at the airport, because here in Winnipeg, that's what we do, we're not successful, but even for a good effort, amazing effort, and that was a championship effort. I just think I'd put the word out there if you guys.
I think there must be people we
know that.
Johnny, there must be people we know in the building, and we have phone numbers. I will start making the calls because certainly they'll be coming home early in the morning. I'm guessing
probably already on their way back.
Yeah,
is the greatest call.
You could let them know. I'm sure Coach Quenville and all the players, they would appreciate that. If for hockey in Canada, even if you don't win, but that kind of championship effort, I'm sure they would appreciate that.
Well, we're about to hear from one guy on the phone, and I know two guys in studio that aren't doing anything after 12:30. All three of those guys could go out and meet them at the airport.
I like that.
Sam Penionovich, yeah. Mark Carman, Adam Hope.
I'm sure the airport would even if you let them know, we put the word out. There's a lot of fans. We got it on the airwaves.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd have a section ready for them.
There you go.
When they land or whatever.
Well, the problem is that this needs planning, and we weren't planning to lose. We weren't planning to lose, so I think that was probably – it's hard to arrange that.
Obviously, we're not Chicago, but yeah, exactly. True. You need planning, too.
Yeah.
In Winnipeg,
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. We've got to make sure we get to Dan, too, who's been waiting on the line as well.
Hey, is that real? That was amazing.
That was real. I was a Canadian who loves our Blackhawks and wants us to support our team coming home. Hey, Dan, what's going on? Dan? Uh-oh. Dan waited too long. Maybe he went to the airport.
Most people
He heard Johnny and decided that, do I not have it? Oh, hey, Johnny. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I have to turn your phone on. I'm sorry. Adam was looking at my board. Reminded me to push the right button.
I have two things to say. First of all, that song is ridiculous. and the second thing is, in order to appreciate tonight's loss, you have to look at a little bit of history. I've been a Blackhawks fan, like a lot of us, for a long time. And in the 80s, especially early 80s, we went up against Edmonton in the first round every series, every playoff series, and we lost consistently. Then in the 90s, the Blackhawks made the worst trade in NHL history when we traded Jeremy Roenick for Alexis Yamnov, and we had to deal with the fallout from that.
Yep.
The thing about this team that I don't think people really appreciate is we've finally been able to build a franchise around Kane and Taves, and we have this incredible team. And just like the loss in Game 7 in overtime to L.A., we're only going to have another few runs at this. We lost in L.A. We lost tonight. I think the Blues probably go on. They have a better than 50-50 chance to win the whole thing. But the overall comment I'd like to make is the fact that we just don't know how many more times we're going to be able to be in this position, and that makes the loss that much more devastating.
Well, hold
yeah,
on.
Car.
Oh, boy.
That's right. The song Dan was talking about.
Dan, how old is Jonathan Toews?
I don't know, 28?
He's 27 years old. So is Patrick Kane. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to play forever, but we don't have to bury him quite yet, do we? I mean, he's 27 years old. I mean, we got at least 5 years here.
5 years, I think that's
at least five.
We have him for at least 5 years. I understand that, but when you look at this in the perspective of being a fan for 30 or 40, so we have him for 7 or 8 years. Was tonight Andrew Shaw's last game with Chicago?
Could have been.
What, really?
We don't know that. My point is that when you sign these guys, when they get off their contracts in another 5 years, Kane and Toews, if they're healthy, are going to be paid astronomical amounts of money to play hockey.
Well, Dan, they've already taken
less, though, to stay with this team.
Dan, I hear what you're saying. We all hear what you're saying. We got to live in the now a little bit more than you're living in the now. We can't be worried about what's going to happen in 6 years. I mean, come on.
Well, listen, I get what you're saying, but come on. I'm not saying that you have to project over 6 years. I'm just saying my point I was trying to make was the pain of tonight's loss is exemplified by the fact that we don't know how many more times with this core group of players we're going to have. And just like the loss to L.A. a few years ago, it just really sucked. I mean, the Hawks made a valiant effort. They're a great team. Super fun to watch. Earlier someone commented about, you know, the Hawks have had it pretty good. The Hawks fans have had it great for the last 6 years, 6 or 7 years. I mean, it's been so much fun to be a fan. I'm just saying that, you know,
Dan, thanks for the phone call. I think what Dan's getting at is they, after last season, there were a lot of people that thought it was going to be like the first cup where they had to, like, blow up everything except for the core. And it took a couple years to get back to that point. And they managed, Stan Bowman did a tremendous job this year to get this team back to a point where they're competing at a high level during the season. But then he went out and mortgaged the future even more with those moves he made at the trade deadline. And this could now be in a situation where it will take a couple more years to get back to the point where they can win a cup.
Do we like Panarin? Are we
absolutely
okay? He's 24.
He's only signed for one more year, though.
Well, that's okay. They'll have to figure that out. But that's a pretty good piece there.
Shaw might be the guy this year that has to go because of the cap.
Well, maybe that'll be the case. But I love Andrew Shaw, but it's not a make or break franchise player. He's just not. How old is Toews? He's 21. Do we like Toews?
I like Toews. No,
I mean, he did not have a good playoff. He took a step back in the playoffs this year.
In general, I don't think he stepped up as much as they were hoping this year.
No, he didn't. Well, and that's especially in the playoffs, he came up short. But the bottom line is there's some young talents around there. Kane and Toews are 27. He just referenced the Kings. We don't know when we're going to get back. The next year they came back and won the Stanley Cup.
That's true.
Toews turns 28 in 3 days. And then we got a text message from Bobby D.
Hey, Bobby.
Patty V, which airport do I go to, Midwest or O'Hare?
That's a good question. It would be Midway or O'Hare.
Midway or O'Hare, thank you.
Should I actually say that?
Sure, say it.
It's signature flight support at O'Hare.
It's not the main terminal.
It's the private. You access it on, it's like Mannheim and
see,
Higgins.
And the thing is, you can't really plan for a, you know, a team coming back after losing a round, right? It's not like you can't plan it because it's bad luck. So how do you make arrangements knowing it? Because you would need an area. You can't go out on
Hey, you can go there. You can try to say hi. It's probably, I'm sure the Blackhawks would appreciate the support. It was still a good season.
It would be unprecedented if a ton of people showed up after a first-round playoff loss.
I don't mean this as a shot at Winnipeg, but this isn't Winnipeg. Like, this is Chicago.
It's O'Hare Airport. It's one of the most busy.
First of all, it's hard to get to O'Hare and get access to a team. Although, you know, White Sox fans did do that at Midway after the Sox won the World Series.
Well, it's Midway. It's in someone's backyard.
And they won the World Series for the first time in like 1,000 years.
That's right. Winning World Series, I mean, they did it for the Bulls when they did it in 91, and they've done it for the Hawks when they were coming back, but losing first-round playoff series.
How do we coordinate this? I feel like that we have to be the show that coordinates the return, you know, celebration of our Blackhawks who had an amazing season.
It's signature flight support at O'Hare. You can Google it. It's out there.
Who do we call, Craig? We've got to call somebody and make and figure out how we do this.
Well, Bobby D might be going. By the way, we got another text from the 606. Shake it off, Gumby. You can't win every year.
That's true.
Who's Gumby?
Especially,
I don't know. I guess we're Gumby.
Are you Gumby? Are they watching the live stream because you're wearing green? Is that what it is?
Oh, maybe so. Maybe.
Did you understand the Fix You thing with Coldplay?
No.
That he was talking about? So we were talking about this before midnight, Patty. That is how the St. Louis Blues decided to celebrate tonight.
Oh, it's sort of a maudlin sounding song.
Right. So like here it is, like one of the best wins in franchise history, and they celebrate by playing Fix You by Coldplay.
So that they feel like they fixed us? They fixed themselves.
They fixed themselves.
I'm still impressed that Craig shaved his beard after the game
in between,
the building
before we started our 11 o'clock show.
Because I'm not saying it was your fault that they lost.
I know.
I will say this, and I have complete confession to our listeners and Blackhawks fans. Someone earlier today asked me if the Blackhawks were going to win, and I said, absolutely. So, totally my fault. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen. Carmen and Adam have been helping us ease our sorrow. And we have it's Music Monday. Every Monday night we have live music in the Allstate Showcase studio. With us tonight is Sean from Cold Country, and he has tonight to play for us Letter to My Daughters.
I wrote a letter to my daughters, thought out things I had to say. Broken bones will heal back stronger, torn up hearts won't stay that way. Rest your head on my shoulder, sigh your heavy hearts to bed. Things you'll keep as you get older, some you'll give away instead. Know the light in your eyes. Oh, to know the hurt when you cry. Of stone will learn much harder than the ones who would softly say, who am I if not a vessel for the tides of time to sway? Know the light in your eyes. Oh, to know the hurt when you cry. Oh, to know the light in your eyes. Oh, to know the hurt when you cry. daughters sent it off with all of their names.
Yeah.
Wow. I asked him to play something that was a little bit somber. That was also uplifting. Thank you so much. That's Sean from Coldplay, and we'll hear more music from him and talk to him in just a little bit, wrapping up with Adam Hogan and Carm from The Beat, Saturdays. From 3 to 6. 3 to 6 or 3 to 7 on Saturday?
3 to 7 Saturday, 3 to 6 on Sunday.
And we have a special 1 to 3 show this Saturday with the NFL draft. So I'll be sitting with Hamp and OB and Kaz leading into The Beat.
Yes. Then we have our regular show.
And then we have a regular show.
I feel like you should have a masseuse, like, just help you out during the first part of that going into The Beat.
Honestly, I'm so excited to see those guys.
I bet you are.
I really
And I'll be here with you guys too.
Oh, cool. I did not know that.
Well, I'm going to be upstairs in the sports office covering whatever the Bears are doing, because there's still going to be draft picks going on. It's going to be a busy Saturday.
It was a great show you guys had before the Blackhawks game the other day, by the way. I was listening.
It was very enjoyable.
It was very fun.
Thank you very much. We had a nice, we had a great producer out there with us.
Yeah, there you go. There's some great pictures.
You did okay.
It was an amazing season. You know, it didn't end the way we wanted, I know, but it was such a great ride. It always is with the Blackhawks, with this team. Could not be more excited about going into next year. We'll see what happens with the salary cap and how things change in the next. But for now, it was a lot of fun. And what a great ride. I mean, all the way through Game 7. It was crazy.
It's a phenomenal series, and I think it's pretty clear that the team can use a little bit of a break here. You went Stanley Cup Finals, Western Conference Finals, Stanley Cup Finals the last 3 years. So to be out, it hurts to be out this early, but now you get all of May, all of June, all of July, and most of August to rest up. Although there is the World Cup this
summer? Yeah, they're doing a World Cup this year for
hockey. What does that mean?
It means more ice time.
It's like, yeah.
Because I was listening after the game, they were talking about how, you know, because they'd gone all the way, obviously. Did they go through June? Is that about how long it takes?
Yep, mid-June.
Right, so now they've got a little bit extra time. Yeah. But I was surprised, I was listening to in the last minute that the other team, the Blues, took a timeout, too.
Okay, I was about to bring that up.
Yeah.
Because I want to sneak in. No, that's a great, you can bring it up, Pat, if you want. Because I had two notes I want to sneak in before we get out of here.
All yours.
And one of them was, why the heck did Ken Hitchcock call a timeout in the final minute? Boy, he was already going to get fired if they lost this game. And he might as well have just gone straight home as soon as the game ended, if the Blackhawks had scored right there.
Because you give our guys a chance to rest up, let them get their breath, get their legs going, right?
Well, right. They wouldn't have, at that point, Toews and Kane were both exhausted, so they would have, you know, whoever knows what line Q was going to put out there. But it wouldn't have been the best players that the Hawks have.
The other thing I want to point out before we get out of here is Brent Seabrook, not as great as game.
He was hurt. Something's going on.
He was hurt. Did you see why he was hurt?
Why was he hurt?
That hit he took from Troy Brouwer, I think it was in the first period, if not the early second period. He got leveled after he got rid of the puck, and his head hit the boards.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he kept playing?
And he was like, they showed him in the bench, and he was blinking his eyes. He didn't look right. And I didn't think he should have been out there at all. And he just didn't look right the rest of the game, in my opinion.
I thought he was banged up the whole series, and that hit was that hit was like icing on the cake. Before we go to it, just one thing, just to kind of recap here. I mean, you had Patrick Kane's 26 game point streak this year, which was just phenomenal. You had Patrick Kane becoming the first American player to lead the NHL in scoring in the history of the league, which was ridiculous. You had the 12 game winning streak, which was also ridiculous. It was just, those were phenomenal points in the season. You had a phenomenal series with the Blues, unfortunately.
Plus, coming back,
from 3-1 down.
I'm saying.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of fun stuff this year, and they were climbing uphill because, you know, you had a lot of guys out the door last year. If they had Johnny Oduya on this team, makes a difference that, you know, they were lacking.
And what about Sharp? I was wondering about Sharp, but I don't know if that's somebody.
No, they missed Patrick Sharp too, for sure.
Absolutely. And that would have been great to see him play against the Blackhawks if the Hawks had been able to pull this one out, because it would have been Stars.
That would have been a showdown.
I'm curious to see how far the Blues go. They're talented enough to win the Cup.
Is this the kind of thing where you hope it's them? Because if they're going to beat the Blackhawks, they should beat everybody. Do you have that sort of sense?
I don't really care if they do or not. It's just they struggled so much just to get past the Blackhawks and get over this hump. can they go all the way? I'm just curious to see if they can do it.
I think if you're the Hawks, you don't want that because they have a lot of talent over there. And for them to experience a whole cup run, to have that experience as well.
Oh, don't give them too much confidence.
Yeah.
Don't let them get happy.
I think you want them knocked off. But if they get knocked off by Dallas, I mean, that's another team you got to deal with. I mean, the Blackhawks are going to, they'll be right there next year, but they're going to be dealing with some significant foes in the division. So that's life in the NHL right now for the Blackhawks.
So many questions about so many things, but I'm going to let you guys go because I know it's been a long night. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, they're from The Beat on Saturdays. This Saturday they'll be on for a special with the draft from 1 to 3 and then their show 3 to 7.
And Dave Bennett will be noon to 1 as well.
Oh, whatever.
The sports business. It's a
I'm
big
kidding. We're not talking to him right now. He didn't come and hang out with us.
We got to give the sports director some love. That's our guy.
I know. We love Dave Bennett and his kale. We'll make him a kale shake. We'll make him a kale bourbon shake. How's that sound?
That's delicious to Dave
Bennett. It sounds better now that you included bourbon.
Bourbon, yeah. That'll work. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks for having us, Patty. We appreciate you.
Of course. Anytime. Please, anytime. We have an update from a listener who's called in. Rob has let us know that the Blackhawks will be landing in how long now? In 3 minutes. So for those of you who want to go and greet the Blackhawks as they land out at O'Hare, I believe Adam was telling us that they fly on Superior. I'm not sure the rest of the name of it.
They have a fancy charter. It's landing in just a couple minutes if you want to be out at O'Hare.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think just drive out there. I think if you drive on maybe Mannheim Road and just flash your lights, maybe they'll know that that's for them. If everyone wants to flash their lights around O'Hare Airport for the landing of the Blackhawks, because we do want to let them know that we support them, but we don't have enough time to plan a rally for them at the airport to welcome them back from St. Louis, because we do love our Blackhawks, and I wish we could just give them all a hug. And not for, like, any selfish reasons, Craig. Don't laugh at me because I want to hug the Blackhawks. It's, you know, I just want to console them and also hug a Blackhawk. We have in studio with us Sean from Cold Country, and here he is playing. He's going to play a song called Valerie. Here he is.
My teeth were crumbling on the edge of a dream when I felt you were laying there next to me. I awoke to your ear pressed against my chest, saying there's nothing left of us here in this bed. Oh, it's hard to say with any measure of time where love tends to go in the morning light. Could you say that it's true by the end of the day that a love like ours was ever meant to stay? Valeria, Valeria. Valeria, Valeria. There's never any more that could ever be seen, never any less than there ever will be. If you look your whole life through the eyes of the dead, there's nothing living here that'll ever be met. When the stars open wide to swallow the sky, you'll know with every death there was a life. You'll see the light of every soul that was kept, every fragment of time at the very end. Valeria, Valerie. Valerie, Valerie. So hold my heart while you can right now. Know that it's true beyond the shadow of doubt. I will be right here on the edge of my dream. Maybe one day we both will be. Valerie. Valerie. Valerie, Valerie.
That was amazing.
That was very nice. And for any of our hockey fans confused at all, just change that first name to Stanley, and it makes complete sense.
It does. Teeth crumbling on the edge of my dream.
Right, yeah.
Really beautiful music.
Really amazing.
Well, and I think there's the haunting beauty of The Sorrow We Feel Tonight. We could not have had a better musical guest. I want to thank Sean from Cold Country for being so flexible. He got bumped last week because we had the Marine Corps in town, and then tonight we had some post-Blackhawks coverage, and he's been super cool. I've got a little bit of bourbon for him if he's interested in just a moment, because I know we're all drowning our sorrows tonight, including Sam Panionovich. Hey, Sam, how are you doing?
Honest to God, I thought I was at the funeral, like the Blackhawks funeral. Just now. I mean, it was a great song, but
beautiful. I know.
The tear rolled down my face when it was over.
Well, this is the thing. I think that you do. You just sink right into it. You sink into the pain. You embrace it. You roll yourself up in the grief, and you go, okay, this is where we are now. And then you emerge like a butterfly, right? You wrap yourself in the cocoon of sorrow, and then you emerge victorious and beautiful next year.
God, I love emerging from the cocoon of sorrow. So great.
Sean, I need you to write a song called "The Cocoon of Sorrow."
I'll get right to work on that.
How you doing, Sam? I received a picture of you post of your final beard selfie, I believe.
If we can call it that, yeah. I look like Manet or Monet, one of those French painters. And I told Craig, you know, on the bright side, I get to bring the razor out, you know. But it was a great regular season and an underwhelming, underachieving postseason. That's really what it is. It's not a gray area.
Going seven games isn't underwhelming, is it?
Yes, it is. You can't lose in the first round when your mantra is one goal and when you won Stanley Cups. I mean, but that's the pedestal that this team has placed themselves in, and I don't think it's fair necessarily, but this was not a successful season.
Even though
in the first round.
Even though the Blues are a 2 seed and the Blackhawks are a 3 seed, a lot of people seem to think that the Blues are the best team from the West in the playoffs right now. I don't know if that's just because of how they played against the Hawks, but does that mean that they're underachieving if they lost to who maybe? And I know we were debating this earlier with Mark and Adam, but if the Blues wind up going all the way, is it still as underachieving of a season if we lost to the eventual champion?
Ooh, good question.
Well, I think as long as they don't hold that trophy over the ice when it's all said and done at the end of the season, in their eyes, they'll say it's a failure. I mean, Joel Quenneville said this is a huge disappointment. That's from the head coach.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I would imagine he would think it was a huge disappointment. That makes sense.
Right.
What happened when the lights went off on that goal? I'm just curious. I know that Adam and Carm were talking about a little bit, but there was a goal that was the lights went off. It didn't cross the. It wasn't in the blue.
Yeah, that was the second time this series they hit two posts and the puck came out. It was Andrew Ladd in Game 4, and tonight it was Brent Seabrook fired a shot on net, hit one post, shot all the way across the goal crease, hit the other post. It just never crossed the goal line. So I mean, replay proved it, and the official was right there on cue. So. Good call, no goal. But the actual light, like the goal light, turned red when the puck went near the goal. But it wasn't in.
It's not on motion sensor. It's a guy just flipping the switch.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was a motion sensor. I mean, I guess you'd have to have a really good motion detector on the goal if that was the case. I guess you can't really trust it. Well, apparently you can't trust human, you know, ability either.
Is that the moving walkway that doesn't move until you step on it?
I know that John or Troy threw out a stat after the first one happened. Do you know what the percentage of pucks that hit two posts is?
False positives? That? Is this a little bit like pregnancy tests?
Yeah,
because that's scary.
It's really low. Whatever the number is of pucks that hit both posts and don't go in, essentially that's a really low number.
So you just assume it went in?
It's rare that you hit one post,
right,
let alone two. So, yeah, I think this was the first time since I've been covering the team that they've hit two in one series. You know, and not to say that that's why the Blackhawks lost the series, because they hit a couple posts. But, yeah, I mean, you don't see that every day, that's for sure, especially when both goals, I believe, would have tied the game. So, you know, some people call it puck luck, some people don't. Just a little unfortunate today. You thought they were going to make that push, too, because they've been doing it all series long, and they kept finding a way to get behind early, and they had to rally back. And, I mean, the script was right there, Patty. You know, they're down by a goal.
Yeah.
11 minutes left. They start putting pressure on St. Louis, and, you know, the cross post double side, that didn't work in their way. They had a couple good chances for saves. You were just waiting for them to make it happen.
Oh, especially after Saturday. I mean, they were unbelievable on Saturday. You know?
Yeah, but when you fall down 3-1 in a series, you know, you pretty much made that bet. Now you have to find a way to get out of it. And they did the best they could. Like you said, it came down to a third period in Game 7 on the road. Their captain didn't score in the entire series, yet they still almost pulled it off. It tells you how deep the team is, how strong they are, and you know they'll be back.
What was the factor for that as far as our captain not getting a goal? Is that the coverage on him, just, you know, staying on him and making it harder for him to get the you know, keep control of the puck?
Well, they took away Toews and Kane pretty well. Those two combined for just one goal in the entire postseason. This was the first time Toews actually didn't score a goal in the playoffs. But they threw their best checking lines out against Toews and Kane, and that was their game plan. You know, you have to take away the two best players in the world to try and win a playoff series. And they did that pretty well. You know, Jay Bouwmeester was all over Patrick Kane, and they had the checking line out there against Toews. So, you know, the best players on the Blues still at the end of the day had more points, were more effective in bigger moments, and that's why the Blues won.
Now, you said that they'll be back. We had a lot of discussion about Shaw since he's not actually a Blackhawk right now. He's officially able to go other places. What do you think will be the look next year? Do you think Shaw will be back? Are there any thoughts you have on the roster already? Is it too soon to ask?
No, it's not too soon to ask. I mean, if you look at what the Hawks have on the books for next year, it's already over $70 million salary. And with the Canadian dollar being out of whack, the salary cap is going to come down, and that's a hard cap, too. Remember, you can't go over that or you're penalized. So there's not a lot of money to throw around. You look at guys like Ladd, probably gone. Dale Weiss, probably gone. They have to pay Richard Ponick. And Andrew Shaw is the most interesting name. It's good to bring him up because that's going to be extremely bantied about in that front office. Do we keep him? Is it worth the risk? Do we want to pay him?
What do you mean in the sense of risk, as far as performance or?
Well, performance, and you know, I don't know if that whole situation is completely blown over yet with what happened the other night when he got suspended. But I mean, it's an easy way for them to kind of push him out if they had to. But
well, I have to hope that they wouldn't use that as part of a reason. I mean, that's just me. I'm just
it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's the right decision, but Artemi Panarin, because of how well he played this year, he earned a huge fat bonus. So on the books, he's supposed to make next year, I think, $812,000. He's going to make over $1 million in bonuses, and that's something that they hadn't accounted for. Now, it's a great mistake to have.
Right.
Or I wouldn't call it a mistake. It's a great situation to have where you get Artemi Panarin back, but you're going to have to pay him more, and they're already putting pennies in their back pocket. So it's a salary crunch, but that's life in this era. When you have two guys like Toews and Kane who make almost $10 million, you've got Hossa, you've got Seabrook, you've got Keith, you've got Crawford. You have to balance out that checkbook, and right now the Hawks just don't have the money.
If you believe in Panarin as much as you do, he's played in one season in the NHL. He did much better than expected, and he's only got 1 year left in his contract. Do you extend him if you can? Is that the first real thought for the Blackhawks, beside maybe Shaw, is to extend Panarin as much as possible?
I'm sure the two camps will be in talks, and that has to be one of your first primary goals in the offseason, to make him happy and make sure that he wants to stay here. But I don't think there's going to be any reasoning on Panarin's behalf. I mean, he loves playing with Patrick Kane. Why would you want to go anywhere else? You know, that's a prime situation for him right now, playing opposite one of the most skilled players in the world. So, you know, they're going to get that done. That being said, though, when they put the pen on that check, somebody else has to come off on the other side. So that's just life in the new salary cap era.
This is so weird to, like, come off of a season like this. And I know that there were, you know, we wish it had ended differently, but immediately start talking about who, and it's because of the salary cap. Who do we talk to about changing that, Sam? Who do I talk to? Do I write a letter? Do we start a campaign? I mean, what are really...
Craig Bettman should be on the wake-up call today. Why don't you just call the NHL office?
Oh, yeah, I like that. Can we call... Craig, that's what we should do.
That's a great idea. Let's call them every day till they give us a higher salary cap.
They must have a voicemail.
Yeah.
There must be like a number. They have a. They definitely have an answer.
Sam can probably get us some of these numbers.
Yeah, we need some of these numbers. Because what are the benefits to having a salary cap? I'm just curious. What purpose does that serve?
A more competitive league, more teams that actually play in the playoffs.
How do we know
that? All that stuff.
From before? Do we know that?
As a fan of the New York Yankees, without Sam even answering your question, I will tell you that I think fans like it when more teams have a chance because money doesn't play a factor in all that stuff. But Sam, go ahead. In the NHL, why is there a salary cap?
Yeah, just for competitive balance. You want more markets to have more success and give more teams a chance to make runs in the playoffs. I mean, they're trying to expand the league now to even Vegas. So there's this hunger in the NHL office to create some sort of blanketed parity over the conferences. I mean, a couple of years back you had, you know, the Blackhawks and the Kings. You're going to have, for the first time, a team that isn't L.A. or Chicago representing the West in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. So the league's going to be happy about that, but at the same time, those two teams have better players. So, you know, usually the cream does rise, but, you know, why do you have a hard salary cap? It's to create some sort of balance so that you don't have five really good teams, 20 awful teams, and then five teams that are horrible.
But you should at least have a chance at a dime. You should at least have the opportunity. I mean, like, if
anyone's going to rival the Montreal, it's the Red Wings and then the Canadiens who had two really dynasty style eras there. If anyone's going to rival
Didn't
that era.
I think the Oilers won four in a row.
Yeah, the Oilers won four in a row too. Oh, by the way, there's a text from the 872 that says get Brandon Saad and Patrick Sharp back. That's probably logical, right?
Oh, that happens. That's doable.
I've got this buddy that'll text me after every goal that the opposition scores. He hates Corey Crawford. And he is ready to, you know, light Corey Crawford on fire. Crawford sucks. Crawford this, Crawford that.
Crawford did great.
He was their best player in the regular season, and he stopped every shot he should have tonight. He was really good. It's just, you know, the mental fatigue, the physical fatigue, the lack of defensive depth, and I think the mileage guys has started to rack up. I mean, since the lockout was lifted in 2013, Nick Jalmerson has played 362 hockey games.
Wow.
Brent Seabrook has played 361. You know, Kane and Taves and Holt, like those guys are up there in the 300s in just 39 months. So there's a lot going into this when you do it year after year after year. And if you really think about it, in 2014, the puck went in the back of the net off of Nick Letty's sweater, who's a Blackhawk. And this year, the guy who ends their season is Troy Brouwer, who played here in 2010, won a cup, and used to be roommates with Corey Crawford in the minors. So, I mean, they've been extremely fortunate over this window. You know, they are gone. They're not coming back this year, but this rest is going to help them long term and going forward.
All right, so much to deal with. I'm gonna come up with a solution to the salary cap.
We're gonna call the NHL.
Yes,
every night until. But Sam,
I'm gonna come up with my own equation.
I am curious, Sam.
Can you do it on an Etch-a-Sketch?
Absolutely.
For me?
No, because then that gets erased.
A light bright. Can I do it on a light bright?
Yes, a light bright's a good idea. I am curious from Sam though. I don't know if he said this. Were you surprised they lost tonight? Is this a game you thought they were gonna win?
I thought they were going to win, but I wasn't surprised.
Right.
I thought, you know, we talked about these expectations you have. You just think because they've done the unthinkable so many times year after year after year and season after season that they would get it done. But was I surprised? No. I think I was more shocked than anything else. And that's sort of the theory that you got out of that locker room. Like, if you looked at Taves or Kane in the post-game interview, they were shell-shocked. Like, they didn't even really understand what happened. And I think that'll probably start to set in when they wake up tomorrow, if they can even go to sleep tonight.
Well, they've just landed at O'Hare Airport not too long ago. They're probably in their cars. Sam, before we let you go, what would you like to say to the Chicago Blackhawks, who I'm sure are in their cars, tuned into WGN Radio? What would you like to say to our fantastic team?
I think you should help Patty Vasquez do the best that you can to get rid of the salary cap. And join, you know, the picket fence movement. Patty will lead the charge. Get behind her, and everything will be A-okay. And but how also, did I do that? Does that sound good?
And you also want to say thank you for a great season.
And there's always next year. Because next year, they're probably going to win it. So
there you go. I like that. Excellent. Thank you so much, Sam. I can't wait to see the shiny, clean-shaven Sam as soon as I get a chance this week. All right? Stop by. Oh, no, I'm not going to be here. Send me a selfie.
Yeah. Oh, great. All right.
All right. Got it. Bye, Sam. It's Sam Penyanovich. Follow him on Twitter at SPShoot. More after this on 720 WGN. It is Music Monday, and we are recovering from the end of a great Blackhawks hockey season, and really want to thank them so much for everything they've done. I know they're on their way home. They have landed at O'Hare Airport. They're in their cars. I know they're tuned to WGN Radio. So we are thrilled that it is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio with some brilliant music from Sean with Cold Country. Here he is playing Sweet Dreams. Craig.
Yes, Patty.
I don't think we could have had a better musical guest for tonight.
No, that was so great.
I want to thank Sean from Cold Country. Were you done? Because I hate to think that I interrupted
you. No, he faded himself.
I know, he faded himself.
That was amazing.
I know, but I still never know. I'm so musically disinclined.
Really nice. He did the little loop thing.
That was beautiful.
He had
Sean,
the looper.
Come on, grab a seat.
That's what that's called, right? I'm just going to call that a
looper. Looper? Is that a looper?
Yeah, that's not what it's called.
I don't know if it's what it's called. Sean has grabbed a seat. I've poured him a glass
Sean,
of
you were
Jim Beam because we're mourning tonight. Did you loop?
Tell him to use
Yeah, there's a silver
turn
knot.
Yourself up right there. Gotcha. And you were looping.
Was that?
Yeah, but I had to, couldn't bring the band in tonight, so I had to make one out of that loop.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Really, it was beautiful music.
The other two songs were so natural. When I mess with that thing, I'm always like, oh god.
Yeah, that was the first song you used it for, and there was a moment where you literally stopped playing, and Patty and I looked at each other like, and there was still music happening.
I know.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what was happening. I was like, right? He is amazing.
This is incredible.
No hands.
So beautiful. Thank
He's
you so much.
Now doing like a ventriloquist act.
He was throwing his fingers.
Really?
Wait a
minute.
It
was amazing. That was weird. I think that's what happened.
I don't know, but it was brilliant. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you.
Where are you from originally?
I am originally from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, what brought you to Chicago?
Come on, closer to your microphone. Music. I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, doing the college thing for a couple years. And
the college thing?
Yeah, the
did
university
you finish the college
thing? No, I did 2 years and then got just really disillusioned with that whole thing.
What were you studying that you realized you were in the wrong place at the wrong time?
It got broader and broader as it went. I started off studying photojournalism, and then it was journalism, and then it was just comm theory, and then I almost completed a philosophy minor. I was just reading and writing a whole lot, and I loved that, but it wasn't really going anywhere for me, and I figured, you know, what am I going to do with it?
But you still accumulated experience through those different, you know,
I think a lot of
plans
what
of
I,
study.
Yeah, a lot of what I read there and the people I met, you know, ended up, you know.
Influencing and informing some of the...
Yeah, for sure. And I moved back to the Valley to pursue music as like a trade. So, you know, I learned how to do the engineering gig because I was just really into recording music. I discovered like, oh, I can record music. And I hadn't really broken out of my shell yet as far as songwriting or playing. I was still, you know.
When did you start playing?
That wasn't until I moved back to Chicago or moved to Chicago.
But you had to have played something as a kid.
Well, I learned guitar early on in high school, and I was—I
didn't
loved
start
music.
Playing guitar till you were in high school.
You're right?
Would you think that of all the musicians we've ever had in the studio? Seriously,
we actually had some
beautiful music.
We actually had a musician that told us that he learned how to play in his like late 20s, early 30s. That was in his mid 40s when he was performing for us.
Right.
And for some reason, I could place that easier than I could place that he just started
a few years ago.
A few years ago. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but it's in the last 10 years that you've learned how to play guitar.
At this point, I guess it would be a few more than that.
Okay, but still.
Yeah.
Wow, because I really, such beautiful. Now, do you write the music and the lyrics, or who do you collaborate? Or is that all yours?
Every now and again, I'll collaborate on a tune. But for the most part, it's all been just me writing and doing the music. The music part came first. You know, I learned how to play guitar, but I didn't find my voice yet. There was no singing or anything. And when I got into the recording thing, it was just like soundscapes. I'd make ambient kind of music and stuff and just layering. And then when I moved to Chicago, I started meeting people who were really doing it. You know, people in bands who were, I'd never met, you know, back in Phoenix at the time when I was there, there wasn't a whole lot of people really doing it. Everyone's just talking about it, you know. And so I moved to Chicago and like I met a handful of friends and I was like, man, these people are really writing songs and playing shows, and I was going to their shows and that was new to me. And
would they invite you to like sort of have a session where they're writing or jamming and you're kind of like hanging out and taking that all in?
Yeah, I had a buddy early on that I got to sit in on a lot of his songwriting and a lot of his practicing, and it wasn't like I got involved with it, but I just
What was his songwriting process like?
I would listen to him. It was just sit down with some bourbon and, you know, write it out over and over, and then a few days later, it was like get the band in, get the guitarist in, and start finding a hook.
Uh-huh.
And so I got to really just see how the process went. And then, you know, I started there, and then from there, you create
your own.
Yeah, for sure.
Who were some of what music were you playing when you started playing the guitar? What were you influenced by?
So sorry.
Yeah.
God,
that's fantastic. No, it's So classic rocks, are we talking about?
Yeah, real
like,
quick, we are live radio live and we are radio. Trying
good.
To not.
He's a yeah. musician. He's right. Yeah, pro. I've yeah, poured him a glass of Jim Beam. That's
promise
all
I promise it
me.
Won't happen.
So when you say like a classic rock, are we talking like AC/DC and Queen or what's, tell me what like our, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely within those time periods and genres. I was more, you know, less of an AC/DC fan and more of a Led Zeppelin okay. fan or really into Pink Floyd. And
who?
I was, yeah, The Who, and I was really into, you know, Neil Young and Bob Dylan and all that. And that's what I grew up with because my folks listened to that stuff. So I just grew up with classic rock radio.
And that's
really.
A, well, Bob Dylan is also very, there's a, because I can hear Bob Dylan in what you're, in the lyrics that you write, the kind of emotion, mm-hmm. Not him, but I mean, sort of wanting to scratch at that, mm-hmm. those wounds, really.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff is a little more personal, but his personal work, you know, if you dig deeper past all the political stuff, it's, yeah, he's got some heartbreaking albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you, I mean, I referenced immediately the first lyric of your second song, which was Letter to My Daughters, I think, which one was the second? The one
Valerie.
With the it was Valerie with the my teeth crumbling on the edge of a dream, because they often, the teeth are an element of dreams that are often sort
they are.
Of, yeah, that people talk about, because it's usually a sign of vulnerability when you dream about your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that you were, that you came as a theme to you?
I wrote that song shortly after a period of time. It was kind of like a, you know, falling out of a relationship, and I was having night after night my teeth were just falling out of my face,
mm-hmm.
night after night, and
loss of power.
Yeah,
you feeling like
yeah,
you're out
very
of control.
Vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah, and I ended up, you know, I love looking things up, like doing the dream dictionary stuff.
And you should have had Jill Erchick on sometime.
Yeah, and I looked into it, and I was like, oh, wow, this means something. And I felt, you know, vulnerable at the time. And,
right.
you know, that ended up becoming a part of that, you know, part of that tune.
Such a great way. I think so many people can identify with that. And it's also, and if they don't, it's also such a vivid image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that I think it just kind of draws you in right away. It's a beautiful way to, it's a beautiful and strange. Have people mentioned it before?
People tend to like that tune a lot. Sometimes, I mean, I stand behind it, but it's sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, is this really dramatic or is it all right, you know?
once you start playing it, it is hard to start questioning it. You
yeah,
have to
yeah.
sort of let it live and
yep.
in whatever way people take it. I was just listening to this great story. Who was it? It might not have been the station. I don't listen to other stations, but they were talking about
don't.
The writer of Me and Mrs. Jones.
Right. It was probably this station, one of our plus channels or something.
Yes. Yeah. But they were talking about the passing of the guy who wrote that song,
okay.
Me and Mrs. Jones. It was this great story about how he and his writing partner had an office above a bar, and they would go down to this bar and hang out, and every day they would see this guy and this woman meet at the same time and kind of hang out and, you know, whatever was going on, and they kind of created their own story around them.
Oh, wow.
But they talked about how they'd written the song, and they had this they had a singer go out and, you know, was singing it at clubs, and people would beg for him to sing it again because they were drawn into this story. And that's
wow.
kind of what Valerie reminded me of, sort of, I want to know more about that experience. And I think that's
cool.
what Me and Mrs. Jones is like.
You know, the people who wrote that song are all from Jersey, just so you know.
It's a great right. it's a great song.
It really is. New Jersey is a great state.
I'm not going to say the Mrs. Jones that I know. More after this on 720 WGN.
Game set.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. This music is Song of Return from Cold Country. We're talking to Sean. Craig, I looked up at you because I was like, are you just playing a Game of Thrones music? Is that what's happening?
Oh, I wish I was. Melisandre is how old? Oh, my God.
Not
I don't
now.
Even understand.
Not now, Craig.
Okay.
Not
okay.
now. Not now, not ever.
She's
I mean,
like
later,
at least 400. Okay, go ahead.
We're hanging out with Sean. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do. I can't wait. I'm waiting for my girlfriend to
oh,
watch that first.
So nothing.
Oh my
see?
God. So oh my God. The end of the first episode.
Stop.
No spoilers.
Without any Jon Snow news,
no
something
spoilers.
Still happened. Oh, no, stop throwing.
I just knocked something off.
Yeah,
lunch.
That was amazing.
Did you see that?
Have you ever played that game at the carnival?
I hope I haven't.
You'd be
I hope
so
I didn't
good.
Break his guitar or anything.
Nah,
that's
fine. You didn't have a guitar.
They're built to last.
Well, I was asking you off the air if you would help me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. My 12-year-old son plays the acoustic guitar. We went to our first recital last week. He actually played a little bit of Beethoven and also some Simon and Garfunkel.
Nice.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And we're ready to, I guess, move to electric guitar as well. So we've been looking at a range. Do you
pad the walls?
Yeah, that too. But I think that if you're going to get a guitar, and if it's something he's already done it. He's already 2 years in. He enjoys it. I think it's an important investment. I don't think there's a reason to go. I mean, he's nervous that it costs money, and I understand that. But I don't want him to. If it's something he really wants to do, and it's going to last him years, what do you recommend as far as? Because he's looking at finish, but I want him to look at what works for him as well.
Yeah. It's what it comes down to. A lot of players end up learning this along the way because your first guitar is usually something maybe a little cheaper. It's, you know, more of a entry level. But if you're looking to have something that they can grow into, yeah, it's definitely worth the investment to get, you know, something nicer. I play a Fender Jaguar. And I started out on a Strat. I've always liked Fender guitars. They just felt right, you know.
Is Strat a different brand?
Or a Stratocaster is it's just a different model of a Fender guitar.
Oh, it is a Fender.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, they're both Fender.
What because I know he's looking at a few of them. There's the Epiphone is a sort of offshoot of another
of Gibson. Yeah, and those, you know, it's all about when it comes down to those, the difference between a Fender and a Gibson. A lot of it is the feel of it. The neck of the guitar, you know, feels a lot different. Also, it's what kind of music you're into and what kind of tone. You know, the pickups, the electronics of them are a lot different, and they're going to sound different coming out of an amp.
So if he's more of a folk rock, would that be more? Because I think it's somewhere in the lines of what you play.
The Fender's just got this great, you know, the Telecasters and the Stratocasters and the Jaguars and the Mustangs. They all have these great chimey, clean tones to them. You know, they've got lots of single coil pickups as opposed to like what they call a humbucker, which is like a really fat, gritty sounding kind of pickup.
And that's more appropriate for what kind of music?
That'd be like, you know, just rock or hard rock, or, you know, if you're using lots of effects and you want, you know, like a really strong, punchy tone, you know?
Yeah, because he does seem to be drawn to the Bob Dylan, the Simon and Garfunkel, you know, Carole King even. It's not what he's playing. He's also playing the theme music from like Star Wars, and he does the Muppet movie, the, you know, Rainbow song.
Yeah, wow.
Know? So he's enjoying
it. Very cool.
And a little bit of Beethoven. So thank you.
If he's playing Beethoven on the guitar, he's already better than I could ever be. So.
Well, it was beautiful to watch because he's also like, he also wants to do it justice. He almost worries about getting that wrong. And also there's a performance. It was the first time he performed in front of an audience.
Wow.
So that was
very nervous.
It was, yeah. And that's a complicated,
I remember it well.
Yeah, it was a little, it was, I'm trying to remember which one it was. Dun, 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 that one, whatever. Okay. The one from Die Hard, right? Isn't that in Die Hard? Craig, isn't it? I think it is.
The Die Hard theme.
The Die Hard classic music. So you started when you were a teenager playing guitar. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to pick up a guitar?
It was The Doors and the Beatles.
The Doors and the Beatles?
Yeah, really. I got obsessed with The Doors. It was the first time I heard music, you know, like on headphones intimately, where I was like, what is that sound? I love this. And I didn't really know the difference sonically between new music and classic rock at the time. I later learned that as I would switch back and forth.
Right.
And so I loved the music so much that I was like, I want to do this. I want to pick up the guitar and learn how to play these songs. So my guitar teacher, he was also my history teacher in high school. He started doing like after hours lessons and stuff. I took him up on it, and he was a Beatle fanatic.
Oh, really?
And he was like, before I'm done with you, I'm going to make you a Beatle fan.
Look out.
It's like, yeah, right. Well, I became obsessed.
Well, real quick, Griffin is playing this.
On guitar.
He's playing this?
I think
the Ode
this.
To Joy? This is from Die Hard for sure.
Yeah.
That's the Ode to Joy.
He played Ode to Joy.
Griffin is a lot better of a human than a lot of us. That's fine. Go ahead.
He wasn't doing like the horn section.
No, it's
he
fine.
Was like a one man band.
All of that on guitar.
He was just playing that on his guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just what he. I don't.
It's pretty incredible.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to listen. And gosh, I hope I'm right about that. Steve will correct me on the podcast, but I'm pretty sure that's what he played. But he did also play Simon and Garfunkel. And what was I going to ask you? I'm all over the place right now with your history teacher was. So with the passing of Prince, because everyone's talking about guitar, what an amazing guitar player he was. Because I think we kind of forget what his, you know, it's almost like, did we not love what he did before he passed away last week? Do you kind of get that sense?
Yeah, Yeah.
We already revered him, but it is his intensity of the loss.
Yeah, it is. It's always the pet. You know, we appreciate that we're there, that they're there. And, you know, for those of us who love their music, like Bowie and Prince, Bowie is a huge, huge influence on me early on. I got, my mom showed me Bowie way early on into the music thing. And we always love, but we take for granted, you know, there's no permanence, you know, we're all going to go away. And it's not until they're gone, you know, that we sit back and we're like, whoa, they're not here.
Yeah.
And whether you were a close friend of theirs or you never knew them before, it's just, it hits you for us that are influenced by them. But yeah, and it's also strange. I don't jump on that wagon too much where everyone's...
The sorrow train.
Yeah, yeah, not too much, because I appreciate, you know, they lived amazing lives, you know, and it's nothing to mourn, you know. I mean, you mourn the passing of somebody that you loved and was here and now they're not, but you know, it's not like it's a tragic end. He had an incredible career and influence.
It's a celebration of his music.
Yeah,
too.
Should, and that's what more people should be celebrating more than anything else.
And I think they are. I think that that a lot of the tributes to him have been pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I showed Griffin the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with a George Harrison tribute. My guitar weeps.
Well, my guitar gently weeps.
Gently
great
weeps.
Song.
Yeah. Yeah. It should gently weep. It shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be any other kind of weeping, but gently. And it's funny how much people have been playing that over the last week. And that quote, it's funny. Now I've actually heard people misquote it, and I'm sure I'll misquote it as well, when they asked Eric Clapton what it feels like to be the world's greatest guitar player. And he said, I don't know. Go ask Prince.
Oh, wow. And, I don't know if I'd heard
that's
that.
That's a quote that I've heard. I've heard and then reheard and then heard it misquoted, and I'm sure I have as well.
Yeah, he is one of those underrated players where I think the like the glam or the ego and the sonic nature of
and
his
the heels
tunes
and the buttless pants. Yeah.
Well, just like the pop aspect of what he did kind of overshadowed his playing ability. And that happens from time to time. Not all guitarists are known amazing guitarist, but somebody like Prince, it's like, that guy could play the guitar.
Yeah, he definitely could. And Craig, have you heard this as well? And I know we're a little bit late, but have you heard that there's a vault of like full production videos to brand new music that's never been released that he just has on lockdown?
Oh my God. Sure. And he was writing his memoir. By the way, that quote, the Eric Clapton quote, is not, that's not real.
It's not real?
No, that's not.
I've heard it said so many times.
I know. It's all over Twitter since Prince's passing. Unfortunately, Eric Clapton never said that. So.
But does he wish he had now?
Probably.
It's a great quote.
Yeah, it's a really good quote.
It's a really good quote.
It's a perfect quote.
It's just a shame he didn't say it.
Right, it's fine.
I'm glad you... Thank you.
Yeah, you're what? Snopes denies it.
I've heard it so many times.
Huh.
Well, there you go. Fair enough. Eric Clapton also great. Apparently, Eric Clapton is the world's greatest guitar player. I want to thank Sean so much. Before you go, I have to take a selfie with you, by the way. You want to plug something? You have a video?
Yes. The last song I played tonight, I did a video. And David Wolf, he shot and directed it. And that drops tomorrow. Radio 1 Chicago is going to be premiering it. So I guess tune into that. That's what I played tonight. That's the new single. I'm working on a new album right now.
And the last one was Sweet Dreams. So
yep,
Radio
Sweet Dreams is the new single, and
it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Radio 1 Chicago tomorrow. Yep. And where else can we find your music and download it?
You
buy
can find it,
purchase music, support our artists.
All over Bandcamp, at coldcountry.com, and it's on iTunes, Spotify, you know, CD Baby, all the digital outlets. Yeah, you
all
can.
The cool kids.
We're up there.
By the way, Esmeralda, I haven't meant to ignore you all the time. Here's Sean, Cold Country. It's Esmeralda up there on the top right. We haven't had time to see her, to say hi to her
behind
all night.
The scenes.
I know. She's been holding down the fort. I'm sorry, Esmeralda. I keep meaning to turn you.
Oh,
go,
no worries.
Hi, Esmeralda. I heard about your bachelorette party.
It was mine.
I mean, the one that you
your
went to.
Your bachelorette party.
No.
Oh, my God, you're getting married.
No, she was in Michigan.
Oh, my God.
She was in Michigan with a bunch of...
How did he propose? What did he do?
A bunch of girls she was hanging out with. Was there a pillow fight at all?
No pillow fight.
All right, we'll talk about it when we come back. We should probably go to the news.
What landmark did V choose?
do we have a break before the news?
No, you can go right to it.
Well, I'd probably do that then.
Oh,
Oh my God.
That was great.
Griffin has wonderful taste in music.
Oh, this is, he has sat down, he starts the movie and he'll sit down with his guitar and try to play it in the same,
Muppet movie.
The Muppet movie.
The best Muppet movie made, by
I
the
have
way.
To agree. And, that is. And that rowboat in the swamp. Oh, Esmeralda, we noticed that you were not dancing.
Yeah, we were. We were
You
singing.
Were not swaying and, yeah. and we were singing. I did not notice the same sort of joy coming from the traffic booth.
I haven't seen that movie.
I'm going to make the Marines watch that movie.
Yeah, we're going to do a Marine
Semper Film
Muppet movie. Just so
Semper
you can see
Semper Film
it.
The Muppet movie.
We are going
right. to see it. Doesn't matter.
By the way, Semper Film, May 13th, Craig. Can you make it? It's going to be a Friday.
If we watch the Muppet movie, I'll come every day.
It's going to be Heartbreak Ridge.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. All right.
Maybe we'll do two.
Yeah. Can we do like a pre-Heartbreak Ridge Muppet movie?
Yeah, I think we followed up with Muppet movie.
Cool.
Although Esmeralda has Fridays off.
Right.
So
well, she's going to have to come in special because this movie's amazing.
And the Marines are going to be here.
Right. I would recommend that you see it as a child first, though, so you're going to have to figure that out.
I'll just get in my time machine, jump back.
Part of why I love it so much is nostalgia.
It's so ridiculous.
I grew up on it,
it's
and
so
I love
great.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it many, many times when I was a kid.
So did I.
I saw it at the 312-981-7200. I have a Lou Malnati's to give away if you can tell me where the Gateway Movie Theater used to be.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's do that. 312. You saw the Muppet movie at the Gateway.
At the Gateway Theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
312-981-7200. I have a Lou Malnati's pizza to give to you if you can tell me where the Gateway Theater used to be. Should I do a twofer?
Sure, do a
what's,
twofer.
What's there now?
Right. Go ahead. What's there
what
now?
What has replaced
we'll
the
give
Gateway
you an Apt Electronics if you can get us both.
Ooh, we got two.
Sure. If so, they can get the twofer, they get a twofer.
I also saw Star Wars in that same theater.
Nice.
I saw Star Wars and I saw the Muppet movie.
Oh, my God. Jim Henson was the absolute best Kermit, by the way.
Oh. You and Griffin could talk for hours on the Muppets, by the way. He's such a big fan.
Well, but he likes Kermit, number one, right? That's
yes.
his favorite. Yeah, mine too. So.
Well, we had a really tough time. During the NCAA brackets, there were also Muppet brackets. So you could vote for your favorite Muppets. And it wasn't just like the Muppets. It was also Sesame Street characters, Esmeralda. So, that was, I think we mentioned it on the air.
That's too much.
Kermit was losing, and he was very upset. That Kermit was not doing as well. Like, I voted for Grover.
I don't think that should be voted on like that.
You don't think that should be voted on like that?
Well, I don't know. I feel like the Muppets.
It's a personal taste.
Each one has a special
place in our hearts.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Some people relate more to Gonzo or Fozzie. You know, there's different things about them.
Well, why do you think I like Fozzie so much? Waka, waka, waka. He was a struggling stand-up comic who being heckled from the gallery, from the balcony. Statler and...
Waldorf,
thank you. I knew it was a hotel. I'm like, it's a hotel. What's the hotel?
Salad.
Look at this. Look at how many people have answers to where the Gateway Theater was. 312-981-7200. We have so many people calling in. I'm very excited about this. Hey, Pat, where was the Gateway Theater?
I think it was on Lawrence in Milwaukee.
Yep. And do you,
the Copernicus Center.
Yeah, she got both of them. Boom. Pat is not messing around. She don't play. Pat don't play. What else? And this is not for another prize. You've got both the Lou Malnati's.
Well, no, I want to know from Pat, have you seen the Muppet movie?
Oh, Pat, have you seen the Muppet movie?
No.
Oh, you got to go see that. Go with Esmeralda.
Oh, well, but we.
Back in time, remember. We must go back in time.
So child Esmeralda can see it, yeah.
Yes. You never saw the Muppet. Have you seen any of the Muppet movies?
No.
Is there it's not your thing? Like it's puppets and
correct.
Oh, all right, I would actually.
But I think they're. I love them. They're hysterical. I think, but I never saw their movies.
Did you ever see the TV show?
Yes.
Well, see, I think the TV show for the first one. I think that it translates.
You know what, Pat? You are also invited to Semper Film when we watch the Muppet movie, so you can be converted into a Muppet fan as well.
Yes, Craig's gonna get all of your information.
Yep, we're gonna get it all. We're gonna send you an invite.
I wonder what the Marines are gonna think about watching the Muppet movie. I'm gonna bet you that Sergeant Paraka
with
has
our
never
listeners.
Seen. Yes,
yeah,
I know.
That sounds great.
It does sound great. We're gonna need beanbags. Pat, do you like a beanbag or do you prefer more of a couch situation?
I think she's more of a couch.
Couch,
person.
We got a couch for you.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, like a bunch of us.
I'm just a recliner person.
We have office chairs.
Are you regular popcorn or kettle corn?
Ooh, good question.
What kind of corn?
Kettle. There's a kettle corn.
It's got like sugar on it.
Yeah, it's sugary. It's weird.
No, none
okay,
of them.
Good. Good. Good call. Well, no, popcorn's lovely, but okay.
I love popcorn.
I have Junior Mints. We'll have Raisinets. We'll have Goobers. We'll have all kinds of candy. We have Mike and Ike's. Maybe. Oh, Craig likes the Sour Patch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
There you go.
Yeah, all sour right. worms, yeah. Sour patches. We'll have it all.
It's not good for your teeth, Craig. Junior Mints, on the other hand, really quite good. Pat, thank you so much. Did you ever see movies at the Gateway Theater?
I never have, no.
You never did?
No.
I wonder if they still show, because I think the Copernicus Center is built over the old Gateway Theater, if I'm not mistaken. Because the Gateway Theater had one of those ceilings that was like a starry night. So when the lights dimmed, you have like it was like you're under the stars watching a movie.
We have to find a way to send Esmeralda.
Patio theater had that.
Oh, yeah, the patio.
So it's a music box. The music box still has that.
We have to find a way to send Esmeralda back in time with Pat, and they'll both go see the movie at the theater. It'll be amazing.
This theater, by the way, was designed by Mason Rapp of the prestigious firm Rapp & Rapp. It is the architect's sole surviving atmospheric theater in Chicago. These are all things that we didn't know before.
How about that?
And Pat's answer. Thank you. You have a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com. Of course. And App Electronics. Thank you so much to Steve Shapiro for hooking us up there. Craig will get your information off the air. And yeah, Esmeralda, do you have a childhood theater that you saw, like in Joliet? Was there a place that you always went to see movies?
There was the, I think it was just called the Movies 10.
The Movies 10.
And I think it meant there was 10 theaters in it.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when those like first got popular? You're like, oh my God. Were we ever tempted to go and see more than one movie?
No.
No.
I am a good girl.
Never did that. Never.
I was so scared of getting caught and getting in trouble for things, so I never did anything.
Well, here's what I would do. If I were to be someone who would perhaps sneak in and see another movie without buying a ticket for that movie, I would go to the concession stand and buy more, you know, goodies and feel like at least I've bought, you know, that's where they make a lot of money.
Yeah, but if you get a large, it's free refills.
Yeah, but I would buy like, again, my Junior Mint, maybe another soda.
You get those at the Walgreens.
So wait a minute. Oh, I see. Wait a minute. She's talking about sneaking in food, but not sneaking in to see another movie.
That makes no sense.
I'm checking the baseline.
That's because because it's insanity.
You actually
how much you have
the
to
theater,
pay for the food.
You cost the theater more money though. If you were going to get a candy and a popcorn and a soda.
Have
that
you seen
be...
how much popcorn costs?
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous.
That's more than a ticket.
18 cents a silo, according to Rita Rudner.
It's crazy. And the candy? No, thank you. I'll go to the Walgreens and buy my 99-cent box.
Wow. And you sneak it in with a purse or something, don't you?
Well, it looks like, you know, movie theaters should really put some sort of,
they should get a candy detector.
They should sue the stores because now they sell them in the boxes. So it looks like the candy you get at the movie theater.
You're right. That is,
I don't know what you're talking about. It's all in my office. You see,
We have a bunch of candy in there, but I can't sneak anything in when I go to a movie alone, which happens every so often.
With your man bag?
Yeah, I don't have a man bag.
We have to pretend like you went shopping. Like if you were,
I can't
mall.
Put it in my man pocket because you can tell it's there.
Yeah, don't put it in your man pocket. Yeah. Do not put anything except what belongs in your man pocket. We're up to this on 720 WGN. Now, Craig, Steve Cochran rolls in at 6 a.m. What are the chances he wakes up 4 hours before his show?
Not good. I don't think they're good.
And he watched the Blackhawks game, so you got to figure that game ended at about 10:20, 10:30-ish. And maybe, you know what, maybe he went out to the airport to welcome them back. Maybe he's been up. Maybe he's going to pull an all-nighter. We don't know. He can go to bed at 10 a.m. So we are calling Steve Cochran right now.
You are in danger. What are you doing?
I'm just calling Steve Cochran. Let's see. There we go. Are we ringing? Oh, there we go. Let's see what happens. I'm hoping his phone's on vibrate. Esmeralda's really nervous. Esmeralda, she does not like the
Esmeralda's
sound of
gonna
this.
It's going to be okay.
It's fine. It's totally fine. Oh, God. What if he answers? What's a grumpy Cochran sound like?
I don't know.
A grumpy Steve Cochran?
Like he's waking up for the very first
time.
Plus
the Blackhawks lost.
He would probably ask what a lot. I think if you woke up.
What?
Like, what?
What?
Who is this?
Hi, it's Steve. Not in. Leave a message. I'll call you back.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Steve. It's Patty Vasquez.
And Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
Esmeralda.
Wait, say the name again.
Why
Who
are you so
it?
Scared?
Because he wakes up so early already. He's sleeping.
We're getting him up earlier.
I know. This is, but you know what? This will be a great message for him to receive when he does awake.
Yeah.
You know, he can listen to it in his car on the way down to the station. Maybe we'll cheer him up a little bit. It was a long night. The Blackhawks ended their season. They were amazing. We could not be more proud of our team.
We've called some people at WGN TV, and they're all putting their faces on at this time, so a lot of them don't answer. I assume Steve is also putting his face on for radio.
I keep my face all the time on.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. That's good.
You should always keep your face on.
I almost never put my face on. So
just leave it where it is.
Right. Just pick it up when I can.
It's all good. We had a group grief party, a therapy session.
That's true.
We hung out with Mark Carmen and Adam Hogue after the Blackhawks game, and we had some popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked to Sam Panionovich, who has shaved his beard, as has Craig.
I shaved in between when they lost and when we started our radio show.
I'm getting my waxing done on Wednesday. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Get the Brazilian
done. I can't
did
see
you,
any
beard. Did you have a playoff?
I had a
not. She did not have a playoff.
I did not take care of that the entire time during the playoffs.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore, Steve. If you can explain this to me.
I just want a playoff beard.
Someday we can sit down, Steve, and you can tell me what Patty's talking about.
I just let it grow out.
Okay.
I was, you know, supporting my team, doing my best.
I can't see any of it there on your face at all. I can't see.
No.
All right. Good talk.
I did not show that to you. That's why I wear jeans. I've been wearing, you know, I haven't worn skirts in a while.
Yeah, I have.
It's just, you know, just a lot of friction when I walk.
Yeah, well, and jeans are good for this time of year.
Takes care of it.
It's been cold. No, it's been amazing.
I get mine done in L.A. I have a waxer.
That's the only time?
Yes, because it's not why I schedule my trip for this week. I did not think the Blackhawks were going
to
lose.
You haven't been to L.A. in a while. Let's talk about that.
Well, I have two.
Are we calling the wrong Steve? Should we get your husband on the line?
I have a place on Elson Avenue. I have the Cat's Meow.
Sure, I've heard.
Elson Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one. I have a girl here, and I have a girl in L.A.
Sure.
She's from Brazil.
What's your girl here's name?
Michelle.
Michelle. And the girl in L.A.?
And she's also a bartender, by the way.
Nice.
Jessica in
Jessica.
LA.
Yes. Nice. I met a Jessica tonight, a bartender. She might come
into
the show.
Not the same
no,
person.
No, she does not do waxing.
She does not do that.
I do not think you should
You know what I like about getting it done in L.A.?
Go
is
ahead.
There's actually, there's music videos. So over her, so I have one foot on her shoulder. And,
oh God!
And like behind her is like Rihanna, like singing and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just and she's very nonchalant. She actually sits on a yoga ball, you know, those big like. So she's
she's got to keep her core strong.
Yeah. Does she give you some kind of like grass drink or something?
No.
Okay.
A shot.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Is there like a grass shot?
Well, they suggest that you take an ibuprofen before you get it done.
Sure.
I have not done that yet.
I'm sure that'll cure all that ails you.
We're very soon. It's almost over.
Well, we also had great music from Cold Country.
Yeah, we did.
Sean was amazing. Played mm-hmm. some wonderful music, which actually was fitting for the evening. It was a little somber. Right.
You have reached the maximum time permitted
already
for
over.
Recording your message.
I think he shortened it.
Steve has a short message box. I'm going to have to go say that. I don't know if that was the right way to put it. Vic Vaughn, how are you doing tonight?
I was waiting until the Steve Cochran beep.
Are you nervous?
Well,
why is everyone so scared?
I have to see him in the morning.
Oh. Well, tell him that you were, yes. Well, I have a coupon for my Brazilian in LA. I can confirm all that information. You know what? I will send a picture of me and my esthetician from the Santa Monica boutique that I go to. Yeah, that's just where I go. How are you doing?
I stayed up for the Blackhawks game, by the way.
So you've been up the whole time? Did you nap at all?
I napped,
after?
Yep. Okay. I went right to bed.
Is your beard a playoff thing, or do you always have a beard?
Nope, always have a beard.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I feel like I don't know you well enough yet. I should have checked first. Yep. I shouldn't have even asked.
We weren't aware of your beard habits.
Standard.
We are now.
Do you shave it off?
It's
do you just shave it off in one big chunk?
Yeah.
And then you slap it back on.
Oh, nice. He puts his beard on.
If they invent that, I may take part in that. Just change it up. Like, you know.
Yeah,
man,
why not?
That'd be so cool. We could put on, like, other people's beards. Like, I could get a Vic beard.
Yeah. I mean, that
store.
Is a thing. It's just a lot of work. It's just a wig. For your face.
A beard? I mean, well, that's not a thing.
We have that goo. What's that?
Who would
buy spirit gum?
Spirit gum you have to put on your face.
Vic, this isn't a thing.
It's
We're
going to
deny this is a thing.
I've done it for a friend.
You bearded a friend? We miss talking about that with Steve Cochran.
I've bearded a friend.
That's
before,
amazing.
Yes.
Call him up. Yeah. Ring him up again. We got time. Yeah. We got 30 seconds.
Call Cochran back. We got a little bit of time here before Nick D comes in. Nick D's going to be in our other showcase studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio on the 7th floor. When you look back, what are the albums that influenced you the most? Make a list and share it with Nick D at 3:05. Plus, Joe Farina, son of Dennis Farina, talks about his short film Strapped at 2:15. And yeah, I don't think we're going to be in. Do you think? Are you guys worried that we're going to be in trouble with Steve?
Someone
Conkret?
Did text from the 630. Awkward. With a lot of exclamations.
With cranky.
Which part? Oh, with the voicemail?
I don't know what they're talking about specifically. Could you tell us more, 630?
The content of the message for
right.
Steve Conkret?
Or the asking Vic about his beard. I don't know what it is.
Or
one of those things was awkward.
I feel confident.
It may have been the Brazilian wax conversation, guys. Come on. Really? It's
Wait,
my beard?
What are we talking about?
Here's what I'm telling you. I used to be someone who did not rip out the turf, Vic. I used to just trim the hedges. But I have become a convert in the last year or so. And I'm just saying,